Okay, Parshas Bamidbar. The Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the pasuk in Mishlei Perek Tzayin pasuk Yudalef. It says Peles Umozne Mishpat Lashem, which means different type of scales. The balance and the scales are the justice balance and scales of justice are Hashem's. And Maaseo Kolav Nekis, all the weights in the bag are His work. So the different types of scales, there are big scales, little scales, those are the Peles is a big scale, Mosne Mishpat are the smaller scales, they're all for Hashem. And Hashem's work are even Avnei Kis. Avnei Kis are the smallest weights. And Rabbeinu B'chai says, what this is coming to tell us is that Hashem judges everything. There's no like, this person did a big Aver, he's not even going to notice the fact that he didn't bench with Kavana. He was Mizana. There's no such thing as Hashem only looking at the big ones and forgetting about the little ones. Every little Aveira, and of course, certainly every mitzvah, Hashem judges it all, the big and the small. There's nothing that doesn't get judged, like He gives a mashal based on a pasuk of someone who, when you pack up, I don't know if you've ever gone away for Shabbos, typically people, they pack up their stuff, like if you're, wherever you went for Shabbos, when you're leaving, you pack up your stuff, and then after you're done, you come back and check that you didn't leave anything behind. Similar with Hashem's judgment, that Hashem judges the big ones and then comes back and then also looks at the Avnei Kis, even at the smaller things. Hashem judges on all those too. Another part, pshat rather, that he says in Avnei Kis is that Avnei Kis are typically hidden. They're in your pocket. People don't see them. So he says the same is true for Mishpat Hashem, that people don't understand or see Hashem's they don't understand Hashem's judgment. Just this is not an example he gives, but if you an example might have been. In other words, he says we don't know how to weigh things. Like the Gemara says that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Al shelo berchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't make berchus haTorah. So the Rishonim explained that the Torah wasn't chashuv to them. Whatever it is, but the point is a lot of this in Aschinam, there are a lot of things we can't understand, like how things are judged and how things are weighed, and we don't understand everything. That's hidden to us, how Hashem judges things and weighs things. And he says, that's what we say, Tzidkascha kaharere kel mishpatecha tohom rabba, that Hashem, your tzedek, your chesed, your rachmim, when Hashem does kindness, so that's like a mountain. We can see that. But the Mishpat of Hashem, that we don't understand. That's like in the depths that we can't see, we can't understand it. And he says further that when Hashem, I guess a similar idea, when Hashem was discussing the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, telling the Navi what will be, it says, Ba'asiri b'chamisha l'chodesh. It says, in the 10th, chamisha l'chodesh, which sounds like the 10th month, the 5th day, but that's not what it meant, right? We know the Beis HaMikdash destroyed the 5th month, the 10th day. So it was not clear. Whereas when Hashem is coming to give, because that's considered mishpat, when Hashem is coming to give honor to the Jewish people, so then it's bepirsum, as it says in this week's parsha, b'midbar Sinai be'echad l'chodesh l'chodesh hasheni b'shana hasheinish l'teisim eretzvayim. Very, very clear, because when Hashem is doing chesed, that's easier for us to see. So that's a segue into the parsha. So the parsha begins that Hashem spoke to Moshe in the midbar. Be'ohel Moed. Be'ohel Moed is the Mishkan, and this parsha in general talks about the Gullim, how the Jews were camped around the Mishkan, and of course this is not just interesting historical fact, this is of course telling us very deep things about how things worked in Shamayim, because the way the Jews were camped around the Mishkan, there was the Mishkan in the center, surrounded by the Levim, surrounded by the four of the Gullim, the 12 tribes were split into four camps of three tribes each. How that was ordered, it was not just whatever. It was very specific. The numbers were exact. It was all mimicking what's going on in Shamayim, which is a very a big deal. In other words, let's just start from the beginning. The Ramban talks about this at length as well. That the what happened at Har Sinai, so that Kedusha, that whole thing, we want to continue in the Mishkan. So just like there was this Maimid Har Sinai with everyone standing at specific distances from the mountain, all that, the same thing applies to the Mishkan. Hashem's Shechina went from Har Sinai, goes to the Mishkan, and then there Hashem speaks to from the Mishkan, from the Ohel Moed. And Again, the Ramban says this, but what the Rabbeinu Bachai adds as well is that there were the Levim numbered 22,000, which was the amount of Malachim that were at Har Sinai, as it says, Rechev Elakim Ribosayim. Anyway, so there were the 22,000 Malachim. That's how many Levim there were. That was around the Mishkan. And the number of the Jewish people, 600,000 around them, was the number of other Malachim, because the Rabbeinu Bachai says there were 22,000 higher Malachim that are closer to Hashem, and then there's the 600,000 that other Malachim that came down that were further from Hashem. All this, our whole, like he says this later on, but I'm just telling it to you now since it's really the same idea, that Yisrael Lamatar Keneged Tzivos Hashem Lamala, which is a big, big statement. Yidden here are a mirror image of what's going on upstairs. And he says that the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar at that time were like Malachim Gufniyim. They were like physical Malachim. Whatever was going down here was a mirror of what was going on upstairs. And it's also hinted to in the Pasuk. Again, I'm going a little bit out of order, but since it's the same concept, I'm putting it together. This is Rabbeinu Bachai in the Pasuk of Bemispar Shemos. That when it says it twice in Shemos, when he left Mitzrayim. It says there in Shemos, where is it? Is it Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Lam Aleph? It says, Vayhi Mikesh Shloshim Shana V'Arba'mi Yoshana V'Hi Be'etzem Hayom Zeh Yatzu Kol Tzivos Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim. All the Tzivos Hashem left Eretz Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Kol Tzivos Hashem. All the Tzivos Hashem. Rabbeinu Bachai says the same thing. Because it's not just the Tzivos Hashem, which meaning the Jewish people. It was Kol Tzivos Hashem. That means even the heavenly hosts left Mitzrayim. Because, of course, when the Jews are in Galus, the Shechinta is Begalusa, and all the Malachim were there. So when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, it was Yatzu Kol Tzivos Hashem. The Kol includes the upper, the Malachim. And in our parasha, we have that repetition where it says here in Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says Ela Pekudei Bnei Yisrael. These are the numbers of Bnei Yisrael. Kol Pekudei Hamachnos Letzivosam. What's the repeat? All the counting of the Machnos Letzivosam, that includes the ones in Shemayim. So he says it was the same number. One is connected to the other. So again, you see that the whole. If you want to look into all the details, you can read the Rabbeinu Bachai yourself. There's a lot of Kabbalah here and all kinds of stuff. The whole placement of exactly the names of the Shvatim and all this stuff is all stuff that's connected what's going on in Shemayim, which is a lot of what we do is like that. Anyway, he also brings this nice medrash, getting back to what we were saying before. He brings a medrash that talks generally about because we're talking about the Mishkan, a medrash about the Beis HaMikdash, that if the Umas HaOlam would know how much the Beis HaMikdash helps them, this is a famous medrash most of you probably know. If the Umas HaOlam knew how much the Beis HaMikdash helped them, they would set up guards to protect the Beis HaMikdash. And it's famously, like we said last time, that Shlomo davened that any Nachri who would daven at the Kosel that they're at the Beis HaMikdash that they're. Prayer should be answered. And a yid as well, but only if it's good for them. There's an achri either way. And furthermore, he said if the Umas HaOlam would know how important the Jews are for them, they would protect them. Because he says that's why there's the Shemesh comes up in the morning and the Yareach at night, the rain and the sun, all this stuff is Bishvil Yisrael. And La'asid lavo, he says, Yiruha umo shakadosh baruch hu medaber im Yisrael uba'im gam heim lehidabek behem. In the future, la'asid lavo, the world will see that Hashem speaks to us, and then they'll come and try to be nisdabek to us, as the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Nelche imachem kishamanu elokim imachem. Okay, just a nice medrash. So then the Pasuk says, Se'u es rosh kaladas b'nei Yisrael. So he mentions the se'u has a double meaning. Se'u means lift up in a positive way, and se'u can mean chop the guy's head off. Right, like he says, like Yisa Paro es Roshecha. So the se'u can go both ways. So he says the only way that the Yidden have a positive su is b'kiyum haTorah. And that's why the Pasuk uses this lashon of su, which can be both ways, to let you know it can go both ways. And the only way it's positive is if we're with kiyum haTorah. Okay, now this is fascinating if you've never heard this. If you look, there's a whole list of the B'nai Yisachar and B'nai this, which we all read through very fast and maybe don't notice details. It says Libnei Yosef, Lefraim, Libnei this, Libnei that. The only one that doesn't say Libnei is Bnei Naphtali. There it just says Bnei Naphtali without the Libnei. Bnei Bechai says, why is that? Why does it say Bnei Naphtali, not Libnei? So he says, what you find, other Rishonim say this as well. I don't know how they all knew it, but he brings a guess from a pasuk. It means because Naphtali was the only Shevet that was mostly female. The majority of Shevet Naphtali was female. And therefore, it says B'nai Naphtali and not Libnei Naphtali. Why? Because when you're talking to a Shevet that's mostly male, so you say Libnei Ephraim to the B'nai Ephraim, because that's who they are, the B'nai Ephraim. You don't say, when you're talking about a Shevet that's majority ladies, so when you say B'nai Naphtali, you mean like, you know, those B'nai, the couple of B'nai, as opposed to the general Shevet is not that way, just the B'nai Ephraim, the few from Ephraim, the B'nai Naphtali, the few from Naphtali who are Banim, this is their number. That's what the Rabbeinu B'chai says. He also says he has a pasuk that's Meramis to it because it talks about Naphtali in Elashon Nekevez. It says Naphtali Ayola Shalucha. And that's, I guess, that's a remez that it was because of that reason that Naphtali was mostly female. I don't remember where I saw this, but somebody said that it's missing the Lamed. For the same reason, but because the Lamed is the Lashon of a letter of Lamed is Limud, women are Pater from Talmud Torah, so you're talking about a Shevet that on the whole was Pater from Talmud Torah, so it was missing the Lamed. That's not Rabbeinu B'chai, I don't remember where I heard that, but I'm just mentioning it. But Rabbeinu B'chai does point out this, the B'nai Naphtali is because they were mostly women. Okay, now in Perek Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, we have a fascinating Rabbeinu B'chai again. It says, "Ubinsoa hamishkan yurido so halavim, ubachanos hamishkan yakumo so halavim, v'azar karev yuma." Sounds like a pretty innocent pasuk. It says, "When they travel with the mishkan, the levim will take it apart, and when it rests, when the Jews come to a stop, the levim will put it back together again. And any non-levi who tries to do that will be killed." Okay, but I didn't notice this. Sure, you didn't notice this, but he says, you'll notice the words Halavim ubechanos hamishkan yakumu. The first letter is Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. Halavim is Hey, ubechanos avav, hamishkan with a Hey, yakumu with Yud. And then again, Halavim Hey, vihazar, hakarev, yumas. Twice you have the shame of Hashem spelled backwards. So he says the shame of Hashem is Rachamim. When it's spelled backwards, it means the opposite. It's Midas Hadin. To let you know, and he says, and you see this somewhere else by Haman. Haman said, "V'chol ze einenu shoveli." So there you have the Sofei Tevos, the last letter of the word ze einenu shoveli. The last letter is Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards. Anyway, so that's a hint to Midas Hadin because it means Midas Hadin will be very going after someone who builds the base, builds the Mishkan, or gets involved, you know, takes apart the, takes the Levium's job. Any czar who does, any non-Levi who does that, Midas Din is going to run after them. And he says it starts always, both times, it starts with the word Halavim. Halavim v'chanos ha-mishkan, and then Halavim v'hazar ha-karev. The Yud Kei Vav Kei backwards always starts with the word Halavim, because he says Shevet Levi is Midas Adin. That's fascinating stuff. Shevet Levi is Midas Adin. I remember someone told me once a Maharal that says in Halel, that's why we don't mention, since Shevet Levi is Midas Adin, we don't want to mention them in Halel, which is a happy thing. So when you have in the Hodul Hashems, we have Yomruna Yisrael, Yomruna Vesaron. We don't have Yomruna Levi like we have in other places. Because I want to mention Levi because Levi's Midas Adin. Anyway, so that's into that there. Now, the Rebbeinu B'chai goes through all the different flags that all the 12 Shvatim had. What color their flag was, what picture was on the flag. I don't think we need to go through all of them. I just want to point out something I find interesting. The image on Yisachar's flag was of a sun and a moon. which I just find interesting. Again, I don't know the answer to this. Usually, you're not allowed to paint a picture. You're not allowed to make a picture of the sun and the moon. There's an Isser v'lo sasuniti. So I'm not sure why that was okay. Maybe it's Esav. I don't remember. It just sounded strange. For all I know, it's a Mefurish Gemara that I don't remember. But either way, I'm just pointing that out. It just sounded interesting that the pictures for Yisachar are sun and the moon. And at least the way we hold Pashtas, you're not allowed to draw a sun and the moon. So I don't know. Just pointing that out. Anyway, we said the four Degalim are... There's four camps, three Shvatim each. Yehuda is the one on the east. That's Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. And that's called the Torah camp, because they were all Gedolei Torah, and they were the Levim. Remember, the Levim had groups next to them, too. There was Moshe Aaron was next to the Yehuda group, and there was B'nai Kehas next to one of the groups. And the Levim were around in the four groups. They were around the Mishkan, and then the Jews were around the Levim. So the ones on the east, that was Moshe and Aaron, and... The Yisrael was Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun. That was the Torah group, and they learned Torah from them. They learned that, you know, that's the Tov Shachim Tov V'Shchenu. They were next to Moshe Aaron. They all became Talmidei Chachamim. This psukim about Yehuda that Lo Yasser Mechokik Megenin Raglav, and Yisachar we know VeYisachar Yehudi Bina Leitim, and Zvulun too. They were the Parnassah people, but they also were not Amoratzim either. They were, it says, Zvulun Moshchem B'Shevet Sefer. That was the Torah group. The next group was the Reuven group, and that was known as the Tshuva group, because Reuven was known for doing Tshuva. He's the first, you know, he's one of those who did the famous Tshuva for what he did with Yosef. I'm sorry, with the Dudaim, the switching of the beds. Anyway, so whatever it is, Reuven's considered the Tshuva group. For that tshuva of the switching the beds, and he saved Yosef. So he's the tshuva group. And then the other group next to them is Bnei Leah, Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. That's known as the Gvura group, as the Pasuk says. In Tehillim, Lefnei Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, Ora is Gvura Secha. That's the Gvura group. So those three groups go... all next to each other, because a person should follow the Torah, do teshuva, and use gevura to be miskabra and the yitzhara to do teshuva to get back to Torah. I don't see it being explicit what the Dun group was called. They were on the north. Generally, Dun is associated with not great things. The Avodah Zarah that was in his place. Usher is next to him because it's supposed to lighten up Dun. Usher had the olive oil, and that's next to Dun, who is supposed to be darkness. But what the group is called, I don't see it anywhere. It's said explicitly. Maybe it says it somewhere and I missed it. Okay, either way, they're the group next to it. Now it's Yehuda goes first, so he brings a bedrash that Yehuda goes first for everything. Goes first, brings Karbanos first, L'melchama first, ending the Geula Ahasida, when Mashiach will come, it'll be announced to him first, which sounds like he'll be Nigal first, which is interesting. And lastly, I'll seem a little bit agav, but he brings this medrash when we're talking about Al Tachrisu Shevet HaKahasi, Shevet Mishpachos HaKahasi. He brings this medrash that says, that we know. That's a Gemara that says anyone who's chayv karis, if they get malchus, they are pater, and they get malchus of 40. Why 40? Because a person is created in 40 days. That's the Yetziras Adam, and he was over on the Torah that was given in 40 days, and therefore the punishment is malchus of 40 days, and that is the reason Rabbeinu Bechai says that the onesh hamaraglim was 40 years. Again, this number of 40, because the person who was created in 40 days and the Torah was given in 40 days, so when they sin, you have a punishment associated with 40. Okay, that's it.